Those of you in Christ, we're waiting on Christ's return. Do not get discouraged. Get excited. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on the promises God made to you and His faithfulness that He cannot lie. If you're going to believe the Bible, accept the whole Bible. God cannot lie.
The promises of God are consistent, faithful, and never return void. For those of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we must hold true to God's Word. Mr. Duncan's message today entitled, Our Promise, will help us better understand how this can be accomplished. Come, let's join him as he explains.
If we could pass that mic to my wife, that would be a blessing. She is that helpmate of mine, and where I'm weak, God placed her right in my life to assist me, and I for her. We're such a team together. Amen. Hallelujah. How's the church doing today? Wasn't the worship service great? The testimonies? Man. What needs to happen for us to get excited about the Lord? I know, we just need a move of the Spirit. That's all we need. So if you would bow your heads, I just want to go before the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How great thou art, Lord. Hallelujah. Look at the work of your hands, Father. For these are the sheep of your pasture. These are your children. Hallelujah. I stand before them for your sake, Lord. Use this earthen vessel, Father. Take control of this tongue and encourage your children today. Move by your Spirit, Father, and uplift them. Meet them right where they're at. Meet them right where they're at to give them that step forward, Father. Bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus. You see everything about them. You hear their prayers, Lord. Let your word resonate in them today, Father. Help us, Lord. All things is possible with you. You said the preparation of the heart belongs to us. But help us, Lord. Help us with our unbelief that our hearts may be prepared to receive from you. Let your word take root in us today, Lord. And I give you praise, Father, for everyone beneath the sound of my voice. That the blessings of the Lord be upon them and His favor be evident in their life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So my goal this morning is just to encourage you. To encourage you to press on in the Lord. To press on to the higher calling. To pursue God. To be excited about God. Hallelujah. Our scripture today is coming from Exodus 32. It's a lot of scriptures. I just need my wife to read it. I just wanted to read it all out, and we'll summarize it, and then I'll choose a few points and share God's word with you. We're coming from Exodus 32. She's going to read from verses 1 to verse 19, and then from 25 to 29. My beautiful wife, if she would please stand, my wife of 18 years. Hallelujah. And God bless you, brothers. I'm telling you, if you want a wife, ask the Lord. He knows how to pick her. Hallelujah. If you would, hon.
When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast into the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it, and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land. I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Moses turned and went down the mountain with two tablets of the covenant law in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There is a sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear." When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. Moses saw that the people were running wild, and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughing stock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the Levites rallied to him. And then he said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: each man strap a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor." The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, "You have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day."
Amen. Amen. There's a lot going on there. To summarize it is that Moses left to go up and talk to God, and he was slow in his return. Like a parent leaving their home and their children at home with instructions, the children decide to do what they want to do. This is what was going on with the Israelites at that point in time. And when Moses returned, just like a parent would do to the children of their home, when they disobey him, punishment had to be issued out. A few things we're going to learn from this. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to encourage you in the Lord. And like the Israelites, I don't want you to get discouraged. Moses was slow in coming. The first verse is what I'm focusing on. It says that Moses was delayed in his return. The Israelites, the children of Israel, were left to their self. We can tell that their hearts wasn't for God just by what came out of their mouth. They took the blessing that God gave them, the jewelry that they had, the gold that they had, is what they got when they left Egypt. That was God's gift to them and was supposed to be used to build the temple of the Lord. But out of their own desires of their heart, They sought their own pleasures. And you can clearly understand this. Moses left. If you were looking to be encouraged by your pastor and he's not here, you may get discouraged too and want to do things your way. This would happen to the children of Israel. They corrupt the pastor and all. Aaron just acting as a priest. He's just there giving them the desires of their heart. It's them that's asking him for these things, so the priest just gave into what their desires wanted. Their desires produced what they were seeking. Moses is up in the mountain with God. God sees everything. At this point, God is disowning the children of Israel. He's telling Moses to go deal with your people. Moses interceding on behalf of the people. He offers his position with God. He says, "Blot me, Lord, out of the book of life to have mercy on him." He's interceding on him. But Moses come down the mountain. He's returning back. The thing is, when Moses returned, he's angry. And he has to issue out judgment. Because Moses is faithful to his ministry. He is faithful to his ministry. Sin has to be punished. It's the law. It's the law, the Israel law. Wickedness has to be punished. And if wickedness is not removed out of the camp, the whole camp suffers. So Moses stands at the door and says, "Those who are for the Lord, come over here." And the Levite, this is the set aside. This is what set them aside because they became the royal priesthood consecrated by the Lord to minister before the Lord and to assist the high priest. But nevertheless, Moses' ministry is a shadow to Christ's ministry. I'm going to share a little bit about these two ministries. Because Moses' ministry, his first miracle, he turned water into blood, signifying what his ministry is about. That's why Jesus makes statements that, "I don't condemn you, Moses condemn you." Because judgment, the law, brings out the wrath of God. But I'm here to encourage you. Hallelujah. Because I want you to be encouraged. Because when Moses returned, he brought judgment. And the children of Israel was just waiting Moses' return. That's what they was waiting on, for Moses to return. You know, it's interesting that Moses was only up there for 40 days. And I have to probably go back and look to see if he spent the whole 40 days seeing that God tell him, "You need to go deal with those people." But the children waiting on his return, they got weary. And that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to encourage you and not to get weary. Moses was faithful to his ministry. Jesus' ministry, his first miracle, he turned water into wine, signifying the celebration that we should get excited about. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Christ. We right now, those who are saved, you are under grace. And you are waiting God's return. Don't get weary. Get excited. See, unlike Moses' return, where he brought judgment. Hallelujah. When Christ returned, he will be bearing gifts. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Han, give me a gift that Christ is returning with for us.
1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 58. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
1 Corinthians 14, chapter 15, verses 42 to 58. It shows us a gift that God is bearing with him when he returned. When Jesus returned, he says these words to encourage you. Power. A weak body is going to be transformed into a powerful body. A fleshly body is going to be transferred into a spiritual body. A corruptible body is going to have an incorruptible body. You're going to be changed from mortal to immortality. I'm trying to get you encouraged, excited about Jesus' return. When Moses returned, judgment was issued out. When Jesus returned, rewards are going to be issued out. Blessings and gifts is going to be bestowed on his people. Now, God knows I want a horseback ride in New Zealand. And to give me such a beautiful body that possess so much power, that has such durability, and to just have me kneel down before him in heaven all day and praise the Lord, that's not fair. That's not fair. So I don't think God is going to do that to us. I know God have a sense of humor, but he's strategic about what he does. You know those game shows where they give you a gift, and then they says, and Shauna, look what we have for you. After giving you $10,000, a new trip to Vegas, sorry, not Vegas. Let's say the Caribbean. You know, I think that this is what God is doing with us. Hans, tell me another gift that God have for us.
Well, hon, a new body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 58 says, "And to go with that eternal body, a renewed earth in righteousness." Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25 says, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I'll rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered a curse. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, and I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
Amen. Revelations 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more seas. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write these. Write, for these words are true and faithful. God speaks about a renewed heaven and earth, a renewed body, a resurrected body. The children were waiting on Moses, and they got discouraged. Those of you in Christ, we're waiting on Christ's return. Do not get discouraged. Get excited. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on the promises God made to you and his faithfulness that he cannot lie. If you're going to believe the Bible, accept the whole Bible. God cannot lie. That's just my first point. Over in Matthew chapter 19, Peter said to the Lord, Lord, I've given up. I've given up. That is Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. I've given up all of these things for you. What's going to happen to me? God says, in the renewal of all things, those who have given up house, home, land, the things of this world, will not only receive 100-fold, he says, plus eternal life. God cannot lie. Our hope is not in this life. Our hope is what God promised us. Our hope is in his return. My second point is coming from verse 13. Moses was interceding for the people. By reminding them of God's promise and him swearing by his name. God swore by his name. It's interesting that Moses used the same promise that Jesus can use. Moses said to God that he made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and he used Israel there, referring to Jacob. And he promised Abraham, he says, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And you see, as far as the eyes can see, this land is yours. God promised him a great nation. But Abraham had two nations birth. One from Hagar, and the other from Sarah, his wife. And the both of them got blessed by God. Ishmael became the father of the Canaanite nation, and God blessed them with this land. It's interesting. But the land was promised to Abraham's descendant. See, church, our hope is not in this earth. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world. In the Israelites, there was a tribe, the Levite, that didn't receive any inheritance because God was their inheritance. That is us. The world is pursuing this earth, but nobody gets it because the earth is the Lord's. He's going to give it to Abraham's descendants. That is us. I'm trying to tell you where God's faithfulness lies. It's in his word. Our hope is in what God promised to do in our lives. We don't want to be discouraged in our waiting on the Lord. God is so faithful to his word that when Moses came down, wickedness, sin had to be punished because it was the law. God wrote the law. Sin had to be punished. God punished his own son out of his faithfulness. He punished Jesus with the full extent of his wrath for just becoming sin, hanging on a tree. Scripture exonerate Christ by saying he knew no sin. Let's make this clear. He knew no sin, but he became sin. Because when Moses was up there interceding for the Israelites and he was offering his position in the Lamb's Book of Life, I guess Moses didn't realize only through the shedding of blood there will be remission for sins. And that's what Christ did. He interceded on our behalf and he offered himself for us. He sat in the same seat where Moses did and he offered the right sacrifice for us. He offered himself. He became sin for us. But God's faithfulness we're talking about here. His faithfulness to his word. His faithfulness to his promise. Sin has to be punished. But God provided a way because his love is greater than his wrath. Moses was slow in coming because God is slow to anger. But he's quick to forgive. He's quick to offer mercy. Jesus is not slow in coming, they say. Jesus is not slow in coming. It says, he's not slow. I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 9. Jesus is not slow in coming, like some may view slow. His delay is that he wished that none should perish. That's why Moses is slow in coming, because of God's anger, but Jesus is not slow. His love keeps him back. He desires that none should perish, because it was the Father's will that because he loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believe in him. That's my second point, God's faithfulness. If he was faithful to his word to crucify his own son, I'm telling you about the promise he made to you. The promises he made to you when he says to give up this world that you won't lose your soul. My last point is coming out of verse 29. The lives of the Israelites, the lives of your brothers were in the hands of the Levites. It was the Levite that carried out Moses' judgment. Faithful to the law, wickedness had to be stamped out of the camp. And God blessed them because they was under the law. But we're under grace. But the lives of our brothers are in our hands. That's why God tells us to love our enemies. The Levite was the priestly tribe. It still is the priestly tribe. They minister before God. They assist the priests. Aaron was the priest at the time. Christ is our high priest, and we assist him with the building of the tabernacle, the church, the body of Christ. Sinners our brothers' lives are in our hands. And God was prophesying it all through testimony today. If we're not out there sharing God's word, then we might as well would have been under the law. Because through the grace, the law condemns. But grace redeems, grace justifies, grace uplifts. You know, Moses says, everything that's coming out of your mouth is truth, but if it came out of my mouth, it would uplift you. I say that because if we're not looking forward to what is to come, we could be preoccupied with the gift God gave us. Just like they took the earrings and the gold and used it for their selfishness, we could be preoccupied with our own selves. But this is to encourage you. This is to get you excited about what's ahead of you because God promised you it. I'll share a testimony with you. I had the opportunity to sit with a deceased person. It was a Wednesday when I shared Christ with this person. I don't know if they accept Christ. Wednesday at 4 p.m. Thursday morning, I came into work. The person never woke up. But I ended up sitting with the person for about an hour until the cops came. Just the dead body, just sitting with it. And as I sat and looked and just meditate and ponder on the Lord, I realized something. Whatever was in that person yesterday that had him standing up, talking, complaining, shouting, crying, whatever was in him left his body, and it took nothing with it. It didn't take his wallet, his watch, his pants, his shoes. It left and took nothing. His body was useless without what left. God's word is true. In Hebrew, just want to share this with you. In Hebrew, darkness means ignorance. And light means knowledge. If we interpret creation based on those two definitions, it's going to sound like this. Ignorance covered darkness. Ignorance covered the face of the earth. And God says, let there be knowledge. Let there be light. And what happened? The truth showed up. Jesus says, I am the truth. But we have to hear what's coming out of the truth mouth because Jesus cannot lie. He says, my kingdom is not from here. You fight not against flesh and blood. Live by faith, not by sight. Man should live by, not by bread alone, but every word that's coming out of God's mouth. The truth was telling us that this body isn't who you are. That's why what is from the dirt is going to return to the dirt. The man who I was spoken to left, and his body was still here. I just want to share this with you today because if the Spirit of God is inside of us, it has to compel us to act. It has to compel us to act. We have to give into our belief. Belief has to produce an action. And I want to ask a question here today. What is your current goal in Christ? What is your current goal in Christ? What are you pressing into Christ for right now to manifest in your life? Ask yourself that question. Then ask yourself, why is that my goal? And what am I willing to sacrifice for it? I mean, we got 401k plans. We got a plan for college. Does anybody have a plan to see the Holy Spirit manifest in their life? Ask yourself these questions. Because the enemy is really tactic. You know, we get into businesses and say, God blessed us with this. But let me ask you something about a business. Say, for instance, you open up a bakery and the line is crowded with people and, you know, you have to hire more employees and you have to bake more cakes. Where is the time for ministering salvation? See, the enemy is good at what he does. And sometimes it's because it's in our own heart and we have not because we ask not. God is leading you to open a business. By all means, you seek him on that. But sometimes you're going to find yourself making more money than ministering or sharing the love of God. You know, the richest place in the world is in the oil fields in Arabia or the diamond mines in Africa. The richest place in the world is the graveyard. The graveyard is filled of men and women who never became great men and women who never became great because the enemy stole the time from them. You know, a seed has the potential to be a forest, but if I take that seed and put it on a concrete slab, it'll just decay away. But if you put that seed in the right environment, it'll multiply. I want you, God's children, to understand this. God is extremely strategic. He don't do nothing by mistake. And he created you for something great. And only through him, you're going to be able to do this. And I think it's time we submit to the Lord and pursue him on what he would have us to do. Just so we take that decision-making out of our hands. So I'm encouraging you to get excited about the Lord. Young man said, his gift is irrevocable. Press into God and confirm that his gift is in you. Because his promises is based on the guarantee of his spirit being in us. And if his spirit inside of us, then let's submit to it. Let's press in and seek God. Because I'm telling you, there's our latter days are far better than the former. God's promise. And I would encourage anybody today who's not. Who is not in Christ? Those who are not in Christ, I would encourage you today to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Myself, the pastor, anyone that's saved, even in the quiet place of your own home, ask God to come into your heart. Because God will return, and he'll be bearing gifts and judgment. And you determine what it is you want to receive from him. The choice is yours. But I want to thank you today. I want to thank you today. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for his word today. I want to thank God for his faithfulness to his people. I want to thank God for the blessings he have upon you guys. I want to remind you of God's love to you. He is faithful to you. He cannot lie. He knows your going and your coming, your ups and your downs. Hallelujah. If there is anybody here today that need prayer for anything, please, I'm more than happy to touch and agree with you in the name of Jesus. If you're comfortable right where you are, that's fine. No man speaking by the Holy Spirit can say, Jesus be cursed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I'm encouraging you to talk to God about the goal you want to plan with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord says He hears your prayers, and before you ask, He's already answering. I want you to speak to God right now where you're at. Speak to Him about what's on your heart, not the things that's on your mind. Ah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been setting goals in the Lord since I've been with the Lord. I've asked Him to teach me how to pray. I've asked me to teach me His truth. I've asked Him to teach me His love. I'm telling you, this is the formula for a goal in the Lord. Take your heart and lay it before the Lord, because He knows what's in your heart. And then do the most unselfish act of your whole entire life. Set a time to fast concerning what's on your heart. Fasting gains you nothing physically. What does a man gain from denying himself everything his body desires? This is your sacrifice to the Lord. This is your offering to say, Father, I want what's in my heart. I want this goal that I'm putting before you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this message. Know that God loves and cares for you deeply. You know, we all have struggles in our life, tough times, and much more. But God is about to do great things in your life. Remember the scripture found in Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's your season for breakthrough. Don't give up. Don't stop. Trust God to bring you through. God bless you.
I would like to take a time to thank all listeners of the Lily Kojic Podcast. I pray that you or someone close to you was truly blessed by the messages that we bring to you weekly. As we go forward, we ask that you share the podcast with as many people as possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 states, "So neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God gives the increase." Our goal is to expand this ministry to reach more people with the good news of the gospel. You can help us achieve that goal by supporting us with a donation of any amount. We have a donation button located on our podcast page that allows you to support this ministry. Thank you, and God bless.